Colossians chapter 4. Go ahead, take your Bibles and go there with me. And we will be finishing this up both today and next week. We've been in Colossians quite some time, but we've not really been in a hurry at all, going verse by verse, trying to take time for some explanations here of the writings of Paul, and try to wrap our minds around what's going on in regards to the church at Colossae. All right, so we're in chapter 4, and if you have been with us, you understand now we're talking about people. We're talking about people that meant something to Paul. And he's closing off the letter here. He's challenged the people at Colossae in a number of different aspects, but mostly on the theme of elevating Christ in their life, keeping Christ on the throne of their hearts. A key passage in this small book is that of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This small letter is all about keeping Christ at the right place in all of our lives. And so as we go into Colossians chapter 4 here, Paul is drawing his thoughts to a close. And now he's going to mention some people that are very important to him. People who have worked alongside of him, but also people who have had a great impact on him. Typically, when we think about the man Paul, we think about the impact that he had on other people, right? And what an impact. He started churches. He made a difference in the Gentile community as he was apostle to the Gentiles. And so there are a number of things that we could look at, but the fact remains that Paul had some companions who encouraged him, that ministered to his heart. And we're going to continue this theme of these different people and these names he's giving us here as we continue on. Notice verse 7, just for sake of review here. He starts off by saying, "All my state," chapter 4, verse 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Remember, Tychicus was the runner. We talked about him in great detail. This was a man not necessarily called to preach God's word, but more often than not, he is a person who Paul is sending places. He's going to deliver funds to the church at Jerusalem who had needy people. He's taking the letter of Colossians and the letter of Philemon. He's going to deliver these personally. And Paul trusted him greatly because he was a faithful runner. He was somebody that could be trusted and who had a great, great testimony. Tychicus here, he's mentioned many times in the New Testament, but he was, in fact, a faithful runner for the Lord. So we see that. Notice the next verse, though, in verse 9, which here directs us to another name. And we talked about this last week, Onesimus. And we talked about the fact that he was a slave who then came to know Christ. At some point, he left the church and left Philemon, his master, and which was an offense. Okay, it was against the law to run away. He could face great consequences for that, but nonetheless, he runs away, he gets saved, and he wants to make things right. I mean, what a testimony here. I think that maybe some of us would have looked at it and said, okay, you know, he gets saved, and he was a slave, okay, do we really expect him to go back and make things right with his master Philemon? I mean, do we really expect that? But he's a man that is above character, of the utmost character. He says, "Hey, you know what? I've offended some people, and I've done wrong by my master, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to make things right." And Paul becomes a little bit of a helper in that way, and he comes alongside Philemon. He says, "Okay, Philemon, listen," Onesimus. He says, "Onesimus, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you be reconciled to your master, and I'm going to explain to him that you've come to know Christ." And Philemon was a saved man as well. And so this was just a beautiful thing. Onesimus was the man with a sinful past. And I think that, you know, as the people at Colossae read this, they had to be thinking about, okay, here comes a slave. He's coming back to us. He has the indiscretion upon him that he ran away, but he's gotten saved. And now he can be included in the church. And what a blessing. The man with a sinful past now has the opportunity to serve in ministry. And so we're going to go forward here in verse 10, and we're going to notice here Aristarchus. This is the next person, but I want to make sure that all of us understand this morning that ministry, as we use that term, ministering to others, ministry is for everyone in the church. I want to make that clear to you. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. As we look at these men that Paul was working with and had an impact on him, I want you to understand that ministry is for every Christian. It's not just for maybe a pastor or something like that. I want you to see here in Ephesians chapter 4 a very important truth. And maybe this will change your thinking somewhat. I don't know what maybe thoughts that you've had in regards to ministry and that sort of thing. But I want us to see Ephesians chapter 4. Just put a marker here in Colossians in my Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to look here at just a couple of verses. Notice 11 and 12. Notice what the Bible says. So Paul's speaking here about the church, and it says here, he's talking about the Lord. The Lord gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Okay, so why did he call certain people to do certain things? Spiritual leaders in the church. Why did he do that? Well, look at it in verse 12. He did this for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so the reason we have spiritual leaders, if you will, or spiritual leaders in the church is so that they can help to encourage and model how to reach other people. But the purpose of that is so that the pastors can work with the people who come on how to do ministry. In other words, we could say it this way, okay? The ministry is not for the pastor. It's for the pastor and every person a part of that church, okay? We all come together and we do ministry together. Hopefully, as a youth pastor, I'm able to serve you. You, as a saved teenager in the youth group at Temple Baptist, you are able to serve each other and hopefully serve a purpose and encourage me. And we do that in a variety of ways. We have the music ministry, right? We have nursery ministry. We have the kids ministry. Some of you that were here yesterday served some of the younger ones by being part of that alumni team. And, you know, there's some strategy that goes into that alumni team, right? I mean, you lose some of those, you know, purposefully. Well, what are you doing there? You're serving other people. That is ministry, okay? Again, ministry is not just for pastors. Ministry is for every single person a part of the church. Now, I'm full-time in ministry, which means I do this all the time. I'm at the church. I sleep here. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I don't sleep here. Okay, but I'm here all the time, and that's what I do. Okay, now God may call you to that someday, and you do whatever God wants you to do. If He wants you to live that life and serve Him that way, then that's wonderful. If He doesn't, if He wants you to have a full time job and work in another capacity, listen, don't forget about ministry. Okay, because ministry is for you. You may not have a musical ability, but you can do something else. You may not be able to teach a Sunday school class someday, but you can have part, and the Lord wants you to have part in ministry. We do it together. And so as Paul talks about these people, you can go back to Colossians chapter 4. That knew very well that they needed to have a part in ministry. And that no matter what it was, you know, taking some important letter from point A to point B, hey, I can do that. Boy, I can be a runner. I can be that type of person. And I think Paul lists these names to help encourage the church at Colossae, but also to encourage us here. So we see Onesimus. But look at verse 10 here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, verse 10, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son of Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments. And if you come unto you, receive him. So we have Aristarchus here, and this is the man with a persevering spirit. Notice some of the things that we know about Aristarchus. The Bible says that he was a Jewish believer, that his home was in Thessalonica. Acts 20 and verse 4 gives us that. The Bible says that he was seized by a rioting mob who recognized him as one of Paul's companions in Acts 19 and verse 29. The Bible says, again, and we see it here, he was one of Paul's companions. He traveled with him towards the end of his life, but hardships did not keep him from serving. You know, the things that we know about Aristarchus was that he was a fellow prisoner. Okay, so this could have been very much in a literal sense. You think about when he was captured by that mob when he was with Paul. Paul didn't get captured, but Aristarchus did. And so here you have Aristarchus. Well, maybe he's going to spend some time in prison. At the time of this writing, Paul was under arrest, and it could be at that time that Aristarchus was around that time as well, maybe somewhere close to Paul. But nonetheless, Aristarchus was someone who did not just walk a bed of roses, and neither did the Apostle Paul, but he was someone that persevered. You see him being put in prison, you see him experiencing difficulty, and yet you see him towards the end of Paul's life just continuing to live that life. And why? Well, because the Lord is worthy, and because the Lord is worth it. And so we see here he had a persevering spirit. I want us to see here just a couple other things. Notice it says, my fellow prisoner, and he saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son of Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. He come unto you, receive him. So here we get into our next person, and this is a familiar person. Okay, he's called Marcus here, but this is none other than John Mark. If you've been tracking Pastor's Acts series on Sunday evenings in the auditorium, you've heard him talk about John Mark. Now, John Mark was a very interesting character in the Bible because he was one of those that started serving the Lord, but then for whatever reason, decided to abandon the work for a time. And we're not told that, but we do know that when he left, it left a hole. And it was a grievous situation to both Paul and Barnabas, who were working to plan their second missionary journey. Okay, Paul and Barnabas worked closely together. They went on a first missionary journey. They're putting things together for a second one. And Barnabas comes up and he says, hey, let's take John Mark. And what did Paul say? Let's not, right? You do remember John Mark left us. You do remember that, you know, we were kind of doing the work and traveling around, and we kind of gave him some responsibility, and then all of a sudden he just kind of up and left. You do remember that, Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is related to John Mark here, but notice the strong discussion that took place between these two in Acts 15. Go there with me. Acts 15. Acts 15 and verse 37. Acts 15 and verse 37. Notice what the Bible says. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, so second missionary journey. Let's go, Paul. I'm ready. Hey, you know what? All right, Barnabas, have you got some guys? Yeah, I've got some guys. Who's coming? John Mark. What? All right, notice the next verse, 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Okay, so you have this disagreement that comes up between the two, and you know, you've got two different personalities who are working on this second missionary journey. Who was it that came alongside Paul early on that was such a blessing to him early on? Who was it? Who was that person? Yes. Okay, Ananias, okay. We could also say Barnabas. Barnabas was that person who came alongside. And that was part of his, he was encourager. Everybody knew him as that. He was, that was part of his surname. People knew him to be that type of guy. And so that's where Barnabas is at. That's his personality. He's like, Paul, we can work with him. On the other side, Paul is more like cut and dry. Hey, look, we've got work to do here. Okay, I mean, we don't want any liabilities on our team. Where we are going, it's going to be tough and going. I mean, people are going to be trying to kill us at times. We need serious people going. Okay, now listen, there's nothing wrong with that because God uses both types of people. And certainly, you know, this contention that took place, you know, they were better for it because God had a plan in that separation. They both went on to do great things. But John Mark was in the middle of that. Okay, he knew full well probably how Paul felt about the situation. And Barnabas goes on with John Mark. But nonetheless, I want you to see that Mark, he was a man of second chances. He's a man of second chances. And I want us to understand today that God gives second chances. And, you know, the ministry is not just for people who have a record of never making a mistake, and that's nobody, by the way. Okay, we all make mistakes. A record that, you know, is just above everybody else. No, that's, you know, we all make mistakes. Okay, there was a point in all of our lives when we were Onesimus. We were lost without the Lord, and the Lord saved us, and He made us new. And then we have a relationship with Him, and we have a ministry to each other. But even as time goes on, and we don't know the reasons. We're not told why Mark walked away and abandoned the work on their first missionary journey. But the fact remains that God is a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. And God gives second and third and fourth chances. Okay? And that's ministry is for that. Okay, now I'm not saying that if you're a pastor and you have great moral failure that, you know, after you know, a weekend of repentance, then you're, you know, ready to get back in the pulpit. I'm not saying that at all. There's definitely a high standard, a higher standard for pastors. But I am saying that when it comes to us as Christians, that we ought to be involved in ministry. And every single one of us has a history a sinful past, and yet we can have a part in working together. Okay, so I don't want you to ever think that as you sit here, well, you know what, I'm too sinful. I'm too sinful. You know what? If your heart is right with the Lord, God wants to use you right now. If your heart is right with the Lord, God wants you to use you to minister to other people and to build the church of God. We see here that Mark, John Mark, was the one who was a man of second chances. So interesting here. Other things around him, you know, Barnabas was there to help him grow. Peter spent time with him. You see his name mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13. Peter had some type of involvement. And it could be that, you know, Peter had a series of missteps as well. Peter had a hard time getting started. We look at some of the things that he said to the Lord Jesus early on, and he knew full well what it was like to make mistakes. And yet he was, I believe, one that was used to come alongside John Mark in the later days to try to help him get back on track. I think that's really neat. Philemon 24, Mark is with Paul and is described as a fellow laborer. So here we see it. He's mentioned John Mark in verse 10. And what does Paul say? Paul says this. He says, "Whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." So the church at Colossae here is going to get visited by some people. And Paul says, listen, when John Mark comes, I want you to receive him. I don't want you to shun him. Okay, if you know something about his past or you know something about what went on, okay, fine, but he's been forgiven. He's right. He's moved forward. He wants to be a blessing. He wants to minister. and you need to receive him that way. Okay? We have to be very careful about just writing people off. We do. You know, sometimes we hold a higher standard for other people rather than we do ourselves. We look at someone and say, how could they do that? You know, how could they even? I mean, and yet maybe there's some hypocrisy there because sometimes we do that. But Paul's saying here, be very careful about writing people off. You know, there are people in my family that I pray for every day that, could we say, have abandoned the work. And that's something that weighs heavy on my heart. But you know what? I'm not writing them off, because God can get a hold of their heart. And we have people just like John Mark who maybe go off for a time for whatever reason, and then the Lord graciously brings them back, and they're back in it, and they're able to minister and be a blessing to others and to serve the Lord. And that was John Mark's testimony, and he was a man of second chances. Notice, excuse me, verse 11 here. Verse 11, we notice our final character for today. Look at what it says. And Jesus, which is called Justice. Now, can you imagine in this day your name being Jesus? Can you imagine that? I mean, oh, how special would that be, right? I mean, you know, that, let me introduce you to Jesus. Jesus? No. Okay, now that one. All right. No. This man had a nickname that was Justice. They kind of changed it around, and this would have been a common name in this day. But nonetheless, Justice meant righteous. So this was a man of great character as well. He had good testimony, good reputation. But what does the Bible say about him? It says, and Jesus, verse 11, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. This is very interesting here. And the fact is that Justice, John Mark, and Aristarchus were the only Jews who became fellow laborers with Paul. Do you see what Paul's saying here? Okay, he just mentioned a group of friends or a group of people that were like him, a Jew. And he says this, they are my only laborers. Okay. Now, if you remember, Paul was called to be a missionary to the Gentiles, an apostle to the Gentiles. That's who he was called to minister to. He was not called to the Jews. Okay. Peter was called to the Jews. Paul was not. And yet, he had a heavy burden for them. He said in the book of Romans, I pray that Israel would be saved. That is a burden on my heart. I pray that my own people would be saved. And there were very few Jews that Paul was able to minister to who actually worked with him. There are other Gentile believers that we can see in the New Testament, but these were the only three, according to Paul, who actually worked closely with him. And I think that grieved him a little bit, but I also think that it's interesting that he says that these men have been a comfort to me. I mean, can we just kind of look at this from the human side just for a second? Now, I cannot completely understand this situation other than to try to frame it like when I get around somebody who knows about my home. When I get around somebody who knows about Lakeland, Florida, who's been there, maybe they're even from there. And there's just something special about that. Conversation is not strained. It's easy. Hey, have you been to the, you know, you've been to the minor league stadium there at the end of Miami Street? You've been there before? Hey, have you enjoyed the chicken place, the Jesus chicken place on the other side of town that you have to, like, run in and run out of because it's a little dangerous? Hey, have you done? I love connecting with those people. I love connecting from them. They understand the culture of where I grew up. They understand the geography of where I grew up. And those people, there's a special connection with them. They're from my home. They know my home. And they, in a sense, and hopefully I, in a sense, can relate to them in a way that maybe some other people can't. And I think that's how we can frame this, where these Jews that were very close to Paul had a special window into his heart. I think they understood him in a way that some other Gentiles maybe didn't. Now, does that mean they were better than everybody? No, certainly not. But would they have understood how Paul grew up? Would they have understood some of the laws and what his Jewish home was like? Absolutely. And so I think they understood that they had a window in to be a great help and comfort to the Apostle Paul. You know, you're going to find in your life that there are going to be people that you relate to very well. Could be same interests, could be same area, they know what you know, or same field of interest. Could be a lot of things, but you have a in into the things that they enjoy, they like. And understand this, that is always an opportunity to minister to them. Okay, that can be used on a fun level for sure, but that also can be used as a powerful way to touch somebody's life spiritually. You know, and that might be in regards to someone who is unsaved. Maybe you're from the same area, you know the same things, maybe you have some of the same interests, and boy, what an opportunity to then share a scriptural thought, a spiritual thought to touch their soul. And it may be with somebody that is saved. Maybe somebody that you can just give encouragement, like these men, these three men that worked with Paul. And so Paul says here, which have been a comfort unto me. So let's remember this morning that ministry is for all of us. It's for all of us. And ministry can be found in many different venues every day that we live. You don't have to be in church, presently at church, to do ministry. Okay? There are people all around us that we can serve. But the point is, we should serve. We ought to serve. And it's neat to see that there's a whole host of people that were a special blessing to the Apostle Paul. And we can be a blessing to others as well. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the ministry that you allow all of us to take part in. And Lord, how exciting it is, Lord, when each of us share that burden, Lord, how it builds the church. Lord, we get excited about reaching our community. We get involved with that. We get excited about ministering to each other, whether it be music ministry or some other aspect. Things that we can do, Lord, I pray that we would do them. Lord, I pray that fear or an uncomfortableness would not keep us from doing what we should do. Lord, speak to our hearts in the morning service, we pray in your name. Amen.